What about now? Okay. I need to turn myself on. Won't work if you don't turn yourself on. Yes, God is our strength. Amen. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So if you want to get strength, rejoice. Yes. Rejoice in the Lord. Because he is your strength. And I need his strength every day. Yes. Every time I wake up from that bed, you know, I need him. I need him through the day. Because without him, you know, what do you have? Right. Your own self? How far can you go? I don't know. If you depend on yourself, well, that's why we fail sometimes. Yes. Because we are depending on our strength, on our abilities, on our things. And that will not go too far. I already tried that. They don't go too far. It is good if you have a job. You need to work. Yeah, you need to learn. You need to achieve things. But that is not the way that we seek the Lord, through our education or things like that. It's through his word, his truth. Amen. Let us bow our heads right quick and pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have to gather together in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, this morning, we want you to take us a little higher. Father, we wanted to get a little closer. Like that song said, Lord, we want to get deeper in your love. We want to love you more when we leave this place, more and more, Father. Father, help us, teach us the things that we need to know, the thing that you have us to know this morning, Father. Give us the understanding, give us eyesight, give us wisdom and understanding to take those things, Father, and leave them. Father, just let that word become flesh this morning. Father, we just don't want to be hearers of the word. We want to be doers. Father, we thank you. Be with our brother Doug. We asking you to, Father, strengthen him. Give him health, quicken his mind, his body, his soul. Father, I know it's a battle. That's what we are. We have joined the battle, and sometimes we get attacked, and in that fight, we get weak physically. But, Father, you are our strength this morning. Father, you are our everything. Everything that we have need is in you this morning. Father, we are with our brother Andy as well. Give him a double portion, Father. Let him preach the gospel in power and demonstration, Lord. We ask you that it will change lives. It will transform, Father, lives this morning. Because that is the reason we are here. The purpose is because we want to be changed from glory to glory to glory. We want to continue, Father, growing in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because our prophets told us that with our love divine, we will not make it, Father. With our character, that's what we are here for, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you. Father, take control of this service from the pulpit to the back door. And the same unction, Father, that is in the pulpit, it will be in your children's this morning, not only on the flesh, but let that spirit go into their hearts and teach us, Father, those things that we ought to know today. Father, we love you and we thank you for what you have done and you will continue doing in our lives. Father, we love you and we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let us read quickly. I don't have it in my notes, but let's go to Second Timothy chapter 3. We'll do verse 1 through 6. Things that are to come, that are to be. That's what we're going to preach today. Amen. This know also that in the last days, and this is the last days, can you agree with that? Yes. Dangerous, perilous times shall come. Amen. They not shall come, they hear. Amen. Now I can say, that scripture is fulfilled today. Amen. Those times are here. And for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, with our natural affection, truth breakers or troublemakers, false accusers, incontinent, whatever, fierce despisers of those that are good. So all that is against you, is against the truth. See, and this is what I believe we're living in that day. And we see it. So you can sit down, thank you. So we're living in these days. We are here now. And one thing is for sure, unless you are living in denial, not the Egyptian river denial. If you're living in denial and you just want to close your eyes like the bird that sticks his head in the sand, whatever the name of that bird is. I know it in Spanish, but I don't forget in English. Anyway, and you don't see anything and you don't hear nothing and you don't say nothing, fine. But that is not, what we are living in these days. Just because we are on denial, that means the things are not happening. They're still happening. And they will happen. And then beside all that, crime is up in America. Wars and rumors of war, earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis, name it. All these things. Jesus said that in the last days, before his coming, this thing will happen, and we are here. We are here right now. I'm sorry to let you know that, but this is where we are. Of course, when we look at, let us read right quick with this opening. Let's read what Brother Branham says. If God be with us, then where is all the miracles? That one you have to also put on the... It wasn't part of my preaching. These things that come to me, when I'm just sitting around. It says, and this place here, we had just left a few years before this, has been the prophetess Deborah and Barak, and how that she had prophesied and told them what to do. This is during the Judges' time. And it was just exactly right. Barak, the great warrior, and how that they made a son of the triumph over the enemy. But as soon as they got out of the twist, see, we go to trouble, God deliver us. Now, we go back to our things. Instead of continuing, they kind of start leaving the Lord slowly. But when we are in trouble, we like to cry out to God. God deliver us, and then what? Right straight back into the rut, see? Come to church, we go on Wednesday, we come, and then what? When we go out there, we go back to our route, or what? We go a little bit better than we came in. Right. He says, they went again. If that is in the picture of the church today, just as soon as gets out of one twist, right into another, one it goes. But time has come. Today is the day. Time has come for action. And that is the same now. The time has come for action. The time has come when playing church has come to a halt. I think if that is the time, this is the time. 2,000 years ago, maybe, we're children and growing up and maturing, but we have come to the maturity. We are closer to that head. See? The time has come when playing church has come to a halt with God. There's no more playing church. See? He says, when playing church has come to a halt, there's no more playing church. We must get down to business. So if that's the reason you're here, you're in the right place. We want to get down to business. The business of the Lord. See? His will. Man, I'm kind of loud, isn't it? Or I'm just yelling or something. I don't know. I hear myself even in the ear that I cannot hear. Maybe it's just a speaker here next to me. Anyway. And there's no more playing church. We must get down to business. And I trust that the same God will place this upon the heart of the people tonight or this morning. See? That it's time for a halt of playing church. Playing religious, playing righteousness. And now it is time for action. Are you ready for action? You know, are you ready? As I was speaking this morning upon the subject of what the new birth was and how we come to it, surely that is still sink in our heart. Now, the time has come to act upon what you know to be the truth. Because that's what happens. When we don't do that, we start going back to our same rod. It is time to act on what we know, what we've been taught through the ministry all this year. This is the time to start acting on that. Now, the time has come to upon what you know to be the truth. You cannot act with faith until first you know what you are doing. And that's the reason you are here. So we can train you. So we can show you the scriptures. We can preach and you can understand, you know, gain wisdom and understanding what you're supposed to do and what I'm supposed to do. Because if you don't know where you're going, you never get there. So we're trying to point you in the right direction this morning. You know what you are doing. You cannot have faith until first you know what you're doing. Because if you don't know where you're going, there's no action according to the will of God. You're not lined up with the will of God. You can do some action, but if it's not lined up with the will of God, it's wasting time. You still have no faith. That will not bring faith. Only that is ordained by God, the truth, the way we walk towards God. You cannot act with faith until first you know what you are doing. You have got to first know what you are doing before you can have faith. So that's why we're here. We want to know what we're doing. We want to root ourselves. We want to be always grounded in the truth. Because that's the only thing that is lasting. Anything beside that is, you know, temporary. And I don't want to come to church and find out that I'm just living a temp life, you know, temporary life. I want to make sure that I am acting on the truth by the faith of Jesus Christ in my life. Now, James said faith without action is what? So we have to act. And our action depends on our faith. What do we know? What is our faith that's looking at? And we acting upon that. And if we acting upon our faith, then the truth is with us. We're walking in the truth. We're walking in the light. As long as we walk with faith and acting upon that faith. Amen. So now this message this morning, I know it's not going to be, you know, glory to God and hallelujah and all this stuff. But I want to emphasize this morning what God and this message says, that the time that we are there before us this morning. We need to know. Yes. You need to know. Because as Brother Brown says, it's over. Plain church is over. Now, you know what? I'm not trying to be mean or anything. The point is that at least that day you cannot blame me that I didn't tell you. You know, I told you what the word says. We are that close. 2,000 years ago was way out there, but they've been over 2,000 years. We are this close to his coming. You see all the signs. And what he says, when you see all this happening, look up. Not look out someplace else and go here and follow this and follow that. No, look up. Not there or over there, but look up. Look up to the word, because your redemption is near. And today is nearer than it was when Paul preached these things. So close that you can almost taste it. So close that you can almost smell it. It's so simple that it's going over people's heads. Because all these things that are happening out there, we know. We know that feeling is in the air. People are in trouble. People are doing all these things. And they know out there that the Lord is coming soon. What do you think you and I, we should be even further than that? So, 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to read, let's start with verse 1. I want to take that text to try to explain, you know, this morning what I tried to talk to you about. So now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm begging you, I'm appealing to your senses. Why? Because the coming of the Lord. We all love the coming of the Lord, right? So I'm begging you, he says, and by the gathering, you know, we're going to meet together in the air, by the gathering of the church, he says, unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. You know, don't be unsettled, disturbed. There's all things going on out there. Just live in Matea. Don't be worried about all what's going on. Or don't be troubled, he says. Don't get all excited and alarmed, you know. Oh, my God. You know, when that COVID came and all that vaccine, and this message was divided in half. You know, some were worried that it was a conspiracy and the mark of the beast and the gene, you know. My God, some, you know what? Don't be troubled. You do what God puts in your heart, and God will bring it to pass, you know. Because your thinking and our thinking, it just keep us down and down and depressed and down and down. That's all our thought can do for us. It says, don't be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word. You know, the spirit's going around there, and I'm going to point some of those this morning, at least one or two of them. It's going to be my objective. There are some spirits out there. Spirits are doctrines. Spirit could be, you know, jealousy, lies, you know. Those are spirits. And not by word. By word in the sense that sometimes people have their own revelations. And we have a lot of that stuff today. Because that's the time we are living. This is what Paul is trying to tell us. We have arrived. People have all kinds of doctrines. And I'm not going to point out the doctrine because I don't want you to say, oh, that's that church. I'm not here to judge any church. I'm saying there are spirits out there and there's doctrines that they said is personal revelations. Well, you know, if it's a personal revelation, then it's, again, that's not according to the Bible, because there's no personal revelations. And if that revelation, if I need that revelation for the rapture, God will give it to me. I'm not going to worry about that. I don't know a lot of stuff out there that have been preached, some revelation. But I, you know what? If I need a God, we make sure. I'm trusting God. I'm not trusting the revelation of those men. I'm trusting that if I need a God, will surely let me see it. Or it will come through the pulpit. And it will be lined up with the word and with the message. By letter or from us, you know, people pretending revelations. By letter, sometimes, right now, you know, there's letters going around there that unless you play a tape, you know, you are just like, you know, you are not anything, you know. You are just like, what's the name? Back in the Old Testament, Moses, I forgot their name, but that's what they call him. You know, if you are not doing what they're saying, well, no, I'm not going to worry about that neither. Listen, my friend, God is the one that called. He's the one that justified me. He's the one that saved me. And if I get there that day and he tell me, you was in the wrong place, I would not be able to do anything else. You know why? Because if God put in my heart to be in the wrong place, there's no way I can change it. You know, if God don't direct me to the right way, there's no way you can get there. See? So, it is not up to me to decide, but it's up to me to just to have trust and confidence in God's words. Brother Branham said, if I get that day there and I know that I was wrong, you know, and I get there and he said, depart from me. He says, I just live with the same spirit that he gave me if he don't take it away. Why? Because if that's what God wants, who's going to change it? See? Who was going to change Judas? Jude. Jude was, you know, the man of perdition, you know, incarnated. Jesus Christ knew that. Do you think he went and changed it? That's the way it was. God chose that, and he chose them. And he didn't choose them to change them. He chose them because he had a word to do. Somebody has to turn them in. The disciples couldn't do it because they were following the right things. But God had to choose someone else to do the dirty work. No. So don't worry. Forget about these revelations. You know, you just continue in what you know. It is the truth. And if it's not the truth, don't worry about it. He may make sure you will walk in the truth. This is all his walk. This is all him directing you, leading you, guiding you. You cannot do yourself. That's what happened to me before, trying to lead ourselves. We end up in more trouble than I can even count with my fingers. Let no man deceive you. You know, like Eve that was beguiled in the garden. By any means, Satan will use any means. He can use your wife, like he did with Job. He can use your friends. He can use your best friend. He can use anything. You know, the things are more closer to you, your children. He can use them. He don't care. He played daddy anyway. So, by you, by any means, for that day shall not come. Now he's saying, don't worry about it. Forget about all this stuff. Because this thing, the coming of the Lord will not happen until, he says over here, until that day shall come, except there come a falling away first. It has to be an apostasy. And you know what apostasy is. Those who have professed to be message believer, and they're leaving the message. Let me bring it home. Those are there. I'm not worried about the denomination. But there's a lot of people, and you know it's true, and it's happening. We have all kind of doctrine. We have all kind of message by revelation. And all of those are taking people away, yeah, from what they believe. So we are here now. This is not pretending. We are here. People, after 30 years in the message, they decided that's not what I wanted to follow. Wow, 30 wasted years. I hope he gets some credit at least for that. In the day of judgment, because you will be judged of what you knew and what you did with what you knew. So I'm praying, you know, Brother Mercado, that it will be mercy for those that at least try. I don't want to try. I got one choice, and one choice only: live or die. Amen. That's all the choice I got this morning: live or die. And I'm going to choose life. And I'm going to choose him. See? But then I got to die. So it's a paradox. You want to live? You still got to die. Either way you choose, you're going to die. Out there, in here, because we have to die to ourselves. See? So that's the only choice that I have this morning. Now, there's people leaving the message after dogmas, after doctrines, like the Bible says, win of doctrines, people living after so many years. That's why today is time to move forward. Today is a time of action. Today it is time for God to do what he has purpose in your life to do. God wants to manifest himself through your life. God could have chosen an angel. God could have chosen all kind of a legion of whatever. But he chose you, you and you. So his word will be manifest in this day. You know that you are the manifestation of his word. Sometimes we ask God, would you manifest your word? God, but you are the manifestation of God's word. God in you wants to manifest. Make that word of God reality. See, it is. It is in vessels of clay. It's behind a flesh veil. But God chose that in order to show the world that he is still a real God and he is alive. And you got to live by faith and act upon that faith. At work, at home, at school. How are they going to see God? God is not going to come down and everybody's going to see him. No, God has already came. He's in you. And in you, in you. And the only thing he wants is that you give him the freedom and the liberty to finish what he started in you. He wants your body so he can manifest his word. So every time you dress like the Bible said a woman should dress, every time you act like a man supposed to act, like a child supposed to act, you know what you're doing? You're manifesting the word of God. That's all you're doing. Because that's what God wants to. He manifests his word. Let no man deceive you. These people that profess to be Christians. See, and that man of sin be revealed. So two things before the end. And we're that close. See, those will, you know, profess to be Christian, a message believer. You know, now they decided that, you know, they're falling away. And the man of perdition. And you know who is that one? That's Satan. Now, those two things are very close. We already know people are leaving the message. People are leaving God for all the things, going after all the things. And we already know that Satan is in a warpath. Because Satan is flesh. Just like God needs flesh. See, he don't have no other creative way to do things. He's just imitating God and corrupting them. So he also want to use people. So why? So he can manifest what he believes. What do he believe? He believes a lie. That's all. He's a liar. See? Now, this is what Brother Branham says in Second Sin. He said, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days of time, that they depart from the faith and would give heed to seduction, seducing spirits. Okay? Clergy, he says, you know what seduce is. Seducing a spirit in the church that is a clergy. Seducing clergy spirit. Working of devils. Hypocrites in the church. That's what a seducing spirit. From the pulpit. I don't blame the people. It's the pulpit, the ministers. I've been seduced by spirits. Dogmas and doctrines. See? That are keeping the people from God. They don't know that. You think a denomination is worse? You say, well, God is not in the denomination. That is the temples of Satan, the churches of Satan. Satan dressing himself as an angel of light. He's sitting in the temple as God, preaching to those people. And they are blind. They have a blindfold. They've been blind. Just like the Hebrew children were blind, so they can receive, we can receive this message. Now, we are at the end. There's a lot of people that are blind. Satan has them blind, seducing them to things that are not truth, the lies. But they cannot see it. Why? They're blind. Their hearts are blind. They cannot comprehend. You know, you should be glad this morning. You should tell God, thank you. Because I can understand. I can see. You know, I can see your truth. You know, that's not you. That's God in you. See, he's teaching you, he's guiding you. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit working so devil. So, and you know what the end of that denomination is. But see, if that is in the denomination, see, Satan, you know, already had them. He wants you. See, he wants to be like God. He wants to worship like God. And he said, I'm going to move to the mountains of the north, Zion. You know, he wants the children of God to worship him. But we will not do that. You know why? Because we don't belong to him. He's not our papa. My father is God. See? So he's not my father. Father of lies, murder, jealousies. I don't do that. That he's destruction. She said, Harry, I minded wisdom. You see, smart intelligence having a form of godliness. Just go say, well, we are Christian. We should go to church. Having a form of godliness, see? If you say you come into church because you're a Christian, that's the wrong reason. You come to church because you love God. You come to church because you want to fall deeper and deeper in the love of God. You want more and more of God. That is what drives you to the church. Not because I'm a Christian. Or because I'm a Christian, I better don't lie. Well, wrong. Oh, I better be honest because I'm a Christian. I better be sincere. No, you are all those things. Because God is in you. See? And God is the one that's controlling you. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the revelation, the power, and the working of the Spirit. See? The Holy Spirit. Denying. They have a form, but denying the power that will bring the changes to the people. See? They will never change. Now, you can get a little better, you know, if you make an effort. You know, we all can do that. You know, sometimes you can change your ways. You can find some motivation or somebody to help you. You can find some therapy, go to the, you know, to the psychologist or whatever, psychiatrist, and they can modify your behavior, but that's all it is. It's a modification. You know, one of these days somebody rob you the wrong way and you back in, get to the rock. Then you run back to the psychiatrist. I'm sorry, you know. That's temporary. Everything that man can do is temporary. We don't want temporary things. I want things that are lasting. Ever life eternal is lasting. It's not a thing that is just only here. Have fun here and then, you know, see what happens. No. I want to know. I want to know where I am and where I'm going and how. See, and what to do. It says, so notice, he said, for this is the soul that will up from house to house and will lead silly women, that don't mean Holy Ghost women, silly women that led away with divers lusts. They just like to get in every little thing that they can get into. And all kinds of societies and life anyway they want to. And still we go to church, see? We are just as good as anybody. Dance, parties, cut their hair, paint, dress, anything they want to do. Still, we are Pentecostals. We are just as good as anybody. Oh, your own work, identify. Your faith, you know, I cannot see it, but your action I can see. And your action better line up with faith, the truth of God. If it's not, Brother Man said here, your works identify who you are. You can start applying that to yourself. Examine yourself. I don't need to examine you. I need to examine myself. I got trouble. I got to do myself. You think I'm going to do all of you? I don't have time. I am a too busy person. I have to keep them under control. Yes. It's not an easy thing, you know. It is a fight every day to keep this guy under control. But you have to do the same thing. You need to examine yourself. Is my life reflecting the gospel? Yes or no? If not, where? Lord, examine my heart and let me know where I have fault. Let me know where I'm coming short. Because I don't want to, you know, be a fake Christian, believing that I am and I'm not. You know, it's just, you can fool everybody. And we can fool everybody all the time and sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. But see, we cannot fool God. And we can pretend to be Christian. And when we come to church, we look good, you know. You know, and we act right. And we are nice. But when we go out there, you know, we go to Walmart and the cashier gives us a hard time, you just want to take her head off. Kind of, don't do that. So, without supervision, no. We don't, that's just expression, okay? So, when you go out there, you know, work, just because you are the boss, I don't mean you have to mistreat people. There's a way to do these things. A Christian don't mistreat. See, a Christian is conscious of people's needs and things. Now, if somebody's playing around, you know, you just have to be just as nice to let them know, just like I'm saying, preaching, you know, what's right and what's wrong. They need to understand. You know, and there's policies in place, you know. 3 strikes, you out. But at least, you know, with compassion. You know, we are not want to destroy anybody. It says, your own work identify who you are. But he said, men's reprobate of mind concerning the truth. What is the truth? The word, which is Christ, concerning the truth. Thessalonians, then we're going to go to verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. That is the man of perdition. Exalt himself, you know, above that is called God, you know. Or that is worship, so that he is God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's doing this already. This preacher is already fulfilled. Now, what we don't think is that it's going to happen in our message churches. But you have to be careful, you know. You have to be careful because we don't want to follow those kind of spirits. You know, you want to be in the truth. It can happen. Don't ever say never, because you never know. So these things are happening. Out there, in our ranks, all these things are happening. See? Who opposes and exalts himself about all that is called God, all that is worship, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. See? He wants to be worshipped. He opposes. He assaults himself. He's proud. He is disrespectful. You know, that's what Satan is. We don't do that. That's not our ways. The Church of God don't follow that way. We are not that respectful. We respect people so they can respect us. See, we are not insolent. We are not proud. I learned a new word from my grandson. You know, time goes by and the vocabulary sometimes change. And I heard Monica telling Elliot, "You acting cheeky." And I said, "Oh, I never heard cheeky." And some of you haven't heard that word, huh, sister? Cheeky. So you're laughing. You know what it is? Yeah, disrespectful, insolent. But I never heard that one. I guess I had to update my vocabulary in English too, to God, so I can talk to these kids, you know, these days. Sometimes I'm talking to them and they stop me and say, "What did that word means?" Because that's not the word I never heard. My God, I'm still living with words 40 years ago. I went to Puerto Rico a few years back. I've been away, yeah, more than, I don't know, 40-some years, 50 years. But when I go back, you know, I pick up where I left. 30 years ago, I left 40 years ago. So I start talking to my friends, and they stop me and say, "Whoa, whoa." I say, "What?" "We don't use those words anymore." "What?" "Yeah, you way back there. This is the word we're using today." I say, "You know, I don't have time to be learning another language. You know what? I stay with what I got, and I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to leave, so fine." But then I find out the English is the same thing. This generation, they got some words that I don't understand. So if I stop you one day, I say, whoa, can you show me what that word means? That's what I do when I go to Mexico, because I had to learn. Even we speak Spanish, we don't speak the same way sometimes. And they have words that they are colloquialisms and expressions that I don't have in Puerto Rico. So when I go to Mexico, that's how I learned all these years. They say a word that I don't understand, so I ask them, "Well, what does that mean?" They tell me. Then I tell them, "This is what it means to me in Puerto Rico," so we can both learn, see, both ways. But it is a learning experience every day, you know. We are learning. So, cheekily, disrespectful. Again, over all that is called God, and that is worship. He sits in the temple. Now, Revelation 13:4, "And they worship the dragon," that's Satan, see, "which gave power unto the beast," the prophet, the false prophet. "They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast?" But that is happening already, see. "Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him?" So he's already seated, you know, pretending to be something that he's not. And people are going for it, seducing spirit, blind in this age. Brother Branham said in the second seal, and of course, you will remember Satan is the head of the political powers. Corruption in politics, corruption in our society, corruption in our school, corruption in our churches. That's already here. See, Satan is already working overtime. And you and I, we should be working overtime too. You know, putting the things of God first in action. See, there's no time to be relaxing. There's no time to be taking a break. There's no time to be lazy. It is time to get up, act what we believe, and move forward. You know, because Satan is looking for any little excuse just to, okay, yeah, don't worry about it. Just relax. This is not a time to relax. See, this is a time to move forward. But now, many knows that. Congregation said, amen. You want to put it down? Matthew 4:8. Satan took Jesus up to the mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world that ever was and ever will be. And in moments of time, talk about a person, he said, "I will give them to you if you worship me." And Jesus knew that he was going to, you know, fall heir of all these things. But he didn't want it that way. Corrupted. See? 5, "Remember you not that I was yet with you and I told you these things?" Well, that was 2,000 years ago. I'm telling you these things today. I'm bringing you to remembrance what Paul says 2,000 years ago. Well, because he talked about my day. It started in his day, he says, but it has come a long way. And now, that was the infancy when the church started. Now, we're supposed to be all grown up, and Satan also should be right going along with us, see? He's not going to stay out there. And you know, 6, that What would hold restrain him right now? Something is holding Satan for, you know, taking control, taking power, everything, that he might be revealed in his time. He will be manifested. He will be revealing his time in his appointed time. And see, Jesus has a bride, but Satan has a bride. And he wants to incarnate himself just like, you know, Jesus is just following God's plans. See, corrupted, but following God's plan. So it will come a day that he will incarnate. But in the meantime, what he's saying, you know, I told you these things, but that will not happen. I'm glad that will not happen. Why? Because we are the one restraining him. The church, the bride, is restraining him. He cannot go forward with his plan until the church is out of here, until you and I are finished. So I guess we're still here. So we have work to do. And we need to put, you know, work on that. 7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity, see, you know what is iniquity? Knowing what to do and not to do it. It is, people are rebellious today. They don't want to do. They rebel against authorities. They rebel against the pastor. They rebel against anything. You know, you can tell them nothing today. You be careful what you tell, because if you call somebody or say something out there, they get a gun, and that's how we are living now. Right. It's crime everywhere, shootings. It's sad, but we're living in those days already. You cannot correct anybody. Don't tell them what to do. I was looking at the news the other day, yesterday or 2 days ago, and this lady, she was Hispanic. And she went to serve, but she went to, some people needed to be evicted. So she went to serve the papers, and she took another person. And when she opened, she didn't even have nothing to do. She just serving the papers and took the owner, the one that collects the rent with her. And the guy, I don't know how he did it, he shot both of them. Then he shot himself. 3 people got plus the one. Listen, you don't know. You don't know the times that we are living. Amen. Things are getting worse and worse and worse. Every day there's a shooting in Tucson. Every day people are dying. People said that people are dying with COVID and with colds and all that. There are more people dying for crimes committed than anything else. They just will not put it out there for you. So you don't have to be worried about it. And I'm not worried about it neither. That let me know the day that I'm living and what's going on. That the Lord is really coming soon. It says people are against authority. They're disrespectful. They don't care. They have no fear, they said. They got that from the Bible. Because we don't fear, you know. The love of God. Help us. He says, Brother Brown says in the first seal again. He said, he that letteth, see. The mystery of iniquity. Why? Back in that very first church age here, here is Paul writing, saying that the mystery of iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is something that you know you ought to do and not to do, and you do it anyhow. Okay? This is the time. Your faith has to be put in action. What you believe, you better put it in action. Or it's iniquity. I mean, that's simple. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you, if it's time for Wednesday, it's time for, and you know what you know, put your faith in action. Amen. See, what you do, identify who you are and what you are and what you believe. Amen? It's not me. It's just the Bible says that. It says, and Paul said, there is such in the earth today, workers of iniquity. See, I don't want to be a worker of iniquity. I make mistakes. I make errors. And sometimes I make the wrong choices. But I'm not desired to do that. I want to serve the Lord. My desire is his desire. Sometimes I fail. I fail him all the time. Probably every day. But listen, my desire is to do his will. And this is the will of God for me. This is what I am. That's my faith, because that's how I believe it. See? If you were going to get to, let us read, you know, that piece, just a minute, start with a little further than verse 3. But let's go. Let's continue with verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, the Antichrist, we're talking here, whom the Lord shall consume. He will slay, he will destroy with the spirit of his mouth, with the breath of his mouth. He don't even have to dirty his hands. And you don't have to neither. You don't have to dirty your hands with the devil. All you have to do is speak. You know? And you don't have to yell and scream. Just a gentle breath. You know? Get thee behind me. You don't have to scream. Satan knows if you have power. Satan knows if you have faith. Satan knows. He's been studying you for years. So he knows if you believe, if you don't believe. And even if you believe, God will test you anyway. So we want to believe the word of God. Shall destroy, bringing him to an end with the brightness of his coming. It will be so bright. His appearance will be so bright that will just destroy his opponent. Ain't that something? You know, I don't know, Mom, we'll get to that in a minute. But you and I, as we go from glory to glory to glory, what is the glory of God? His brightness. You know, the Bible said it. You know, in John 1st, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you go to 14, and it says, and he became flesh, and we saw his glory. See, that his brightness, his shine, you know. And I believe this, and I believe strongly that as we get closer and closer and closer from glory to glory to glory to that image that is God himself, Christ in us, it should be a brightness coming out of your faces every time you come to church. You should be so bright that Abba had to wear shades in order to preach. That's how bad it should be. But it's the brightness, you know, the glory of the Lord. You said, where did you get that from? Moses. He just went face to face to talk to God, and he come down. He was so bright that people got so scared. His face. He had to put a veil because they got scared of that brightness. You know what? If you come and you're shining bright, you will not scare me. I'll probably wonder, you know, I want what you got. Because at the end, we should be showing God, the glory of God in our life. That is your purpose and that is your test. Are you shining out the gospel? It's shining through you? You know? So bright that I have to wear shades, you know? Don't mind if we all have to wear shades when we come to church. It will be the day, you know, that God, it will be so and so consume your body that the only thing we'll see is the shine, his glory coming out. Listen, that's what we want. What do you think this is? This is a fantasy, a little story or a little sci-fi, you know, thing? You're supposed to be God in flesh. And whatever God is, that's what you are. You know, sometimes you meet people that you love and you like to be around them. I don't know why this is an aura, this is a shine. There's something about them that you like. And some other ones you want to run away from, but let's not talk about those. You see them in that corner and you run to the other corner. You don't even want to be around them. Well, some people do that today, but listen to me. It should be such a sweet brightness, such a nice when we meet each other. You know, that's what we want. That's what I want to get to. No. We're supposed to be, and you know how I know that is there? Sometimes I don't feel uncomfortable. I can sit down and talk to you guys, and I can look in your eyes. You know, a person that is talking to you and is going like that and like that, and that is trouble. Something bothers him. That's when you go to work. They don't want to be around you. Why? Because there's something about you that they don't want it or they don't understand it. See? And he has to put a veil on, you know? Because they were scared. Even him, who is coming after the working of Satan, the Antichrist, with all power and sign and trying, you know, pretending and lying and doing miracles, you know? They're going to do all those things. Those things are already happening. You know? But I preach the gospel. But we do supernatural things. There were healings, and we preach, and there were all kind of things happening. That thing happening in the Pentecostal churches today. All these things are happening. See? And Jesus himself, but But I don't know you. You didn't come from me. See? I'm not your father. And you know why? Because your iniquity. See? And Satan, that's the father of iniquity. He knew what to do right, but he didn't want to do it. He decided to be God and sit in the temple of God. Number 10, and with all this deceitfulness, he says, so it's nothing limit to Satan unless God, you know, allows it. It's nothing. He says unlimited seduction. He can seduce as far as he wants to, as far as God let him. And he will have deception, wicked deception. Says the Bible says, unrighteousness in them that perish, going to perdition, those that are going to. Because they receive not the love of the truth, refuse to love God. That's what I'm telling you. If we are not coming to church and we get deeper and deeper, like we sing that song in the love of God, and we want more of the love of God, and that love of God, if we believe that that is our faith, they have to show. You cannot say you love me and then I tell you take the garbage out and I tell my wife, no, I'm gone. You do it. I mean, you know, you can say you love your wife, but if you give me a hard time, let's put it the other way around. Sisters too, anyway. But I know that when you love a person, you know, you have compassion. You got respect. You treat them right. You know, you treat our wife right, you know. And if we do something wrong, we apologize, you know. No, I told you so, no. So we want to move deeper when we come in the love of God. And for this cause, 11, God shall send them strong delusions, misleading them. I mean, that is hard to see. That's what they wanted anyway. They didn't want the love of the truth. They didn't want the truth. So God will send them, okay, what do you want? That's what you want. Then it's same strong delusion. That's why they are on their ministries. They are misguided, misleading, but they don't know it because they have a veil. They are under a delusion, you know, that this is right. Satan never comes out and said, oh, well, that's not even the word of God. Next, that they should believe the lie. He says, Satan never comes out and said, oh, well, that's not even the word of God. See, he's not going to tell you that. He didn't tell that to Eve. He says, he admits it was the word of God, but he put his own what? Interpretation. You know what happened when that happened? The word becomes a lie. See, one word was changed. One word was changed in the beginning. You shall not die. That made the word of God a non-effect. That makes the word of God a lie because Satan cannot bring that to pass. And God is not going to bring that to pass because that's not his word. It's been corrupted. Right. See, the word of God is perfect and it has to stay perfect forever. So every time we inject, every time we ask something, every time we take something, we are making God a liar. That's what God says. If a man, a prophet come and prophesy, and he said, that said the Lord, and it don't happen, it makes God a liar. So we need to be careful. You know, how we present the gospel, not adding, not taking, but presenting the gospel as it is, the truth, not what I think. Well, let me tell you what that means. You know, today, we have so many tangents in the message because that. People are interpreting, well, this is what he meant, and this is what he meant. When we translating the message in Spanish, some of my, the people that were translating, send me the message and I go and edit it and check it. And Brother Brown sometimes speaks, even when he quotes the wrong book of the Bible and the wrong, then what they do, the translator, what they do, they put a bracket and I put, this is what Brother Brown meant. And I go, how do you know what Brother Brown meant? Were you there? Did you ask him? So I just take and erase all that. Leave it the way it is. But that's not what he quoted. This is why he said the verse, but that's not what he quoted. He quoted something else. It doesn't matter. Leave it alone. Because who is going to sit and reference and say, this is what he meant. This is right and this is wrong. See, we don't want to inject, even if it's not the way it's supposed to be, we don't want to change the message. Because I understand it. And the Holy Spirit may help me understand the message. So I think the Holy Spirit on them. Listen, sometimes we believe that people around the world, you know, we want to play Holy Spirit with them. We want to tell them. You know, that's the problem when we go overseas. Too many doctrine, too many things. Why? Because we want to tell them, this is what Brother Branham meant. You know, if they got the Holy Spirit, you give them the message the way it is and the way you understood it by the Holy Ghost, they will understand it by the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be babying these people. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. So try not to quote a verse and say, well, this is what Brother Branham meant. Or this is what the interpretation. Or this is where Brother Branham went wrong. I mean, I don't want to be in that position on that day of the judgment. Just say it. Say it like he said it. And I believe that the Holy Spirit in your life will take care of giving you the interpretation. I don't have to. I just need to quote you these things. Now, sometimes I expand a little bit on what I, you know, giving you a little bit of inputs and comments, but I'm not trying to interpret anything. I don't try to misguide you. Brother Brown says here, it makes a strong delusion for the people to believe a lie. See? So every time we try to interpret, so every time we try to add and take, you know, and the people believe that, that's the solution, because it will never come to pass. That will never change their life. That's a lie. See, and that's what we have to be careful in the pulpit. We need to be careful, because the only way it can change your life, it is the word of God, the pure word of God. That's why we have to stay away from adding and taking. Because that will not produce nothing. In fact, that produces death, physical death. See? The first seal again, God has promised it. When the word is refused, then they are turned to their desires. You know what you said, but I don't understand that well. Let's see. Here you go. Let me get this book. It's too heavy. Anyway, let me get here. As long as you're in the will of God, God holds you. And God will keep you. And God will sustain you. And God will cover you. And God will protect you. But as soon as you start leaving God, God keeps moving. And you leave in God, then what the place you can go? Down. Without God, the only place we can go is down. And then God keeps moving. And if he's a Christian full of the Holy Ghost, you know, God is waiting for you to get up. See, God is not going to force you and pick you up and say, you knucklehead, get up. You made a mistake. This is what you should. No. God is gentle. You stay there. And God continue moving forward. You know, the church is not going to stop just because a person. You stop, but the church moves. Until you get up and say, sorry, Lord, I made a mistake. Then you go back. But the only way to go without God is down. So don't blame God for what happens to you. Because if God is not there, there's no other place to go but down to the things that comes to us. We suffer things. But we don't blame God. Because if we're doing the will of God, you know, even Satan can do anything to us. If we are walking, you know, in line with the word, we are walking in this journey, and we are walking in the line of duty, Satan cannot touch us. See, as long as we stay with the word, as long as we stay with God, we won't fall. He said, when the word is a few, then they are turned to their desires. That's all it comes in. That's all you can depend. Let's read Thessalonians again. I want you to watch here just a minute. Yeah, well, we read it a while ago. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9, 11. It said that they would, turning down, rejecting the truth, they would be given over to reprobate minds and would believe a lie and it would be damned by it. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit says. See, but that's not you and I. They, in Thessalonians 12, it said that they all might be damned, condemned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, Brevan says over here in God of this evil age, he says, making a strong delusion is the Bible said it would. Second, Thessalonians, no, this man of sin will come into existence. And he said the temple of God showing himself as he was God and caused the people to go into strong delusions. See, you don't have to worry about that. You know why? Because you got the Holy Ghost. And God will never let you. The strong delusion is not for you. See? But we need to stay with it. We need to stay with it. It says, as in the temple of God, so showing himself, he was God, and caused the people to go into strong delusion, to believe the lie. He is the father of lies. In the beginning, he lies. See, it was no lie. Everything was perfect before he came, and the fall happens, and then the first lie came in. Have you noticed that? He came to Adam and said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? He didn't answer, but instead of saying, you know, sorry, Lord, I made a mistake. I repent. You know, it wasn't my fault. This is the wife. Instead of repenting, he tells a lie. Well, my wife gave me. Instead of just telling the truth. See, as soon as that happened, the first thing that happened is the second lie. Satan lied, and then now the spirit became into the man of God. And then it goes to her, what you had done. Well, it wasn't me. Lie, another lie. Then another lie. See, that's the first thing that happened in the fall, lies. And that is the spirit that we don't want in the church. We need to be sincere. We need to be honest. Because if we are lying, even if it's a white lie that some people like to believe, or we not to stress the truth. You know, I went to this. I had to repent. I was talking to a new couple. I didn't even know who they were. You know, I was in Michigan. And they introduced them to me, and we were talking. And they asked me, how did you came in? How did you two meet? So I have an exciting story about that. You know, it's my story. It's not true, but it's my story. But I didn't tell her. I just tell everybody when they ask me, well, my wife, we met in such a place. She was an MP, military police, and I was speeding, and she came, and she stopped me, and she hit me with the billy club, and that's it. I fell in love. And she dragged me away. So this lady that don't know me, she believes me. Because she don't know who I am. Well, you guys know who I am. But I was convicted. I mean, I've never been feeling so bad. Because what she's telling me after that, she says to me, so that wasn't true? No, I just giving you the, you know, the exciting and juicy story. But the real one is this one. And she looks at me. And she said, and you a minister? Yes. So how am I going to believe you in the pulpit? I don't know if you're telling the truth or not. No, she was sincere. I mean, I'm glad that she did what she did because I didn't know. I was just playing. You know, we play around and with those stories. Be careful. Because even that, on that, you can, you know, people notice. I didn't know. She was the first one. In all this year, I've been telling my story. I'm going to have to dump it now. Because she said, how can I believe you in the pulpit if you're telling me the story? How do I know you're telling me the truth? I said, I had to repent. I had to ask sorry, and I repented. And I said, no, I will not do this again. I just got to go to my boring story instead of my exciting one. Be careful, because even a white little lie or stretching the truth. Oh, I caught this fish. It was this big, you know. That even itself. If you're telling that, how do I know the next thing you're going to tell me is going to be right? Because I don't know. So be careful. Even a little thing like that can confuse all the people. And then, I'm glad she told me. Can you imagine she would have went thinking that way of me? And I will never know. That could have created something. You know, I don't even know that day that I preached there if she was in the service. I hope she was. They don't live around there. They live many hours away, so. But that really tore me apart. I said, forget about that. Be sincere. Be honest. Be open. If you don't know the answer, don't make it up. That's a lie too. Unless you know the answer. But if you don't know the answer, don't try to make it up just to, you know, people can feel good. You know, you think those little things are just little things. But they are little things to all. But you don't know who you're talking to. I guess Brother Branham went through that same too. He was doing the same thing. I'll get you the quote some of the day, but he did the same thing. He was telling just a little story, you know. He likes jokes, you know. But he got convicted as just as well. Ephesians 2, 1, and you had quickened. I'm glad because we are quickened. We have been made alive. See, Satan has no place in us. Now, he's doing all these things, but I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to be in trouble or unstable. These things shall come. But you and I have been made quick. We are alive in him. Who were dead at one time. We were going the same way as the world was going. Trespasses and sin. And Ephesians 2 says, where in time past you and me walk according to the course, the fashion of the world. See, the world means here the present age that we are living. See? According to the prince of the power of the air. See, we were under control at one time. Yes, I was in the control of demons. I was in control of spirits. I was on the, you know, following, you know, my desire. But now that's not me any longer, see? Because I've been made alive. I'm quickened. That's not my life, see? According to the prince of power, the spirit. So that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, Brother Brown says over here, the spirit of delusion is the veil. The veil on those people today is that they can see the truth no more. Their ears are sealed. It says, that's a bad situation to be. The spirit of dissolution is the devil. The devil now working in the children of disobedience. Disobedient to what? What is the children of these days disobedient to? Like Eve was in the beginning, the true word of God. That's right. Now, if you would want to get that, I think that one of the hardest things, even the hardest thing to do, is be obedience. That is with your parents, and that is a church, and that's with the government, that's with everything. Because we had a set of rules. You know, we were growing up. We have a set of, you know, ethics at work. And the thing is, you not only have to be obedient here, we have to be obedient wherever we go. And that is the hardest thing to do. Why? Because sometimes we justify. Why not? Obedience to church. Obedience to the body. Obedience is the hardest thing you are going to face. Jesus has to learn. See? Has to learn. What did he have to learn? He was God in flesh. But he has to learn by obedience. See? He had to have a choice so he can say yes or no. See, he had a choice. He was obedient. And he said yes, yes, yes. Let your will be done, not mine. That is the hard choice that we and I face every day. When we walk everywhere, is to be obedient to the word of God. You think, well, this is an easy thing to be obedient. No, it's not an easy thing. Check yourself. Examine yourself when you are there and you're talking. See if you're being obedient to God. That's right. It says, children of disobedience. And if the Antichrist, beginning there in the infancy of disobedience, what will be when he heads up in the person of the Antichrist? You think now it's bad. Just wait. But I'm glad we are not going to be here because he cannot do that until we are out of here. But it's going to get worse for the people that are here, that are going to stay. What will be when he heads up in the person of the Antichrist? He will deceptive. He will be. How much more powerful of deception is going to be? They're going to do wonders. They're going to do miracles. See? An adult gives to the word that an infant child. He says, the spirit of delusion now works in the children of disobedience. You and I are not deluded in dissolution. We know the truth. But if you know the truth, you have to be honest with yourself, not me. I got to be honest with myself. I have to be honest with God. That the faith that I believe, I should put it in action. See? The spirit of dissolution working on the children of disobedience. We used to be that way before, but no longer. 13, have to hurry up here. But we are bound to give thanks always to God, to you, brethren, beloved. Now, I'm glad that Paul didn't leave them there, because that was very sad. If I would have left it there, I wouldn't reach you before. I'm not going to even comment, because that's a bad situation if I would have left you in that negative tone that I was going to. But let me finish with this, a little positive. But are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen to salvation through sanctification and the spirit and belief of the truth. So see, you cannot do nothing but believe the truth. But that is the spirit that is working in you, because you are chosen. You was in him before the foundation. So Satan cannot put one on us. See? We're on to he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to traditions which you have been taught. I thought tradition would make the word of God a non-effect. But see, Paul said, hold to tradition. Coming to church is a tradition. And different churches have different traditions. Doing what we do during wash feet and taking the communion, we have certain traditions. We got certain tradition that has been said. I don't know who said them. At what time we start service, when do we have service? Some people are different. Everybody had. I don't know who did. I'm here, and this is what we believe, and this is what this is our tradition. So don't never say that you don't follow tradition. Not the tradition that I'm talking about. But the tradition, the instructions were from the pulpit. We teach you what to do. See? That's what some people say, but that's not in the Bible. But that's not what the Bible meant. But you know, if you want to go get down to that, show me in the Bible where any place they talk about smoking. So it's all right for me to smoke? I don't find that in the Bible. I don't believe. Anybody knows? Okay. So just because we have certain tradition that you cannot take them to the Bible, that don't mean they're bad. We got certain things, certain, organization. We are not an organization, but we organize. And we have certain rules. You know, the deacons have certain discipline. We all got, that comes with the tradition of the church. But just because it's man tradition, that don't mean that we have to buck against it, see? Well, that's not in the Bible. Okay. You know, you raise your children, and you put a lot of limitations and a lot of boundaries. Why? Because you want to protect them, right? So all we want to do is to help you, to protect you, to encourage you. These things that we have in place is not to hurt you. Coming to church is going to hurt you. Well, that church over there, well, if that's what you want, then go over there. But if God puts you over here, then surrender yourself and do what you're supposed to do. I know that's our tradition. That's a different tradition over there. But if you like that one better, just say so. We are not here to destroy you. We are not going to even talk about you. It's just the way it is. He says, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you have been taught. So we have taught you certain things that we had to do. He said, whatever by word, epistle, or letter. 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which he had loved us and had given us an everlasting consolation, see, a good hope. See, that's why we come to church, to encourage each other. Yeah, through the grace, unmerited grace. See, we don't deserve it. I'm so glad that God had mercy on my soul and God had grace. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and had given us everlasting consolation and good hope, encouragement to the grace, comfort your hearts and establish, strengthen. Let's strengthen ourselves. That's why we are here, to strengthen our bonds, you know, our fellowship, to strengthen our relationship with each other and the relationship with God. That's what we're trying to encourage you, you know. You and every good word and work. And the Bible says, provoke each other. If you're going to provoke somebody, don't make them mad at you. Right. You can provoke somebody, but make sure it unto good. Work. You know what the work is? Faith without work is dead. Faith without action, they provoke him to good work, to act. You know? To act, to line up with the word of Jesus Christ. Amen. Stand up. You know, leave it here. I don't want to wear you out, and I don't wear myself out. I still got tonight. Listen, the day is here, and this is the time. We need to put our faith in action. Listen, we don't have too much time. Things are going fast and fast. The pandemic, since it came, it hasn't left, and it will not leave. Now we are doing a war. You know, the pain, you know, birth pains already started. And will not stop until you deliver Jesus Christ in your flesh. You are in birth pain. I am in birth pain. I want to give, you know, bring Christ to the scene in this flesh. I want people, when they see me, they don't see Eli, but they see Christ in me. Amen. The hope of glory. Amen. That's the hope of glorification. If that don't happen, we are not going to be glorified. Jesus says, glorify me with the same glory that I had before the foundation. Glorify them with the same glory. If that don't happen in my life, I'll be disappointed. But I know God is not going to disappoint me, because God started the work and God will finish the work. I don't care what he has to do with me. He will finish the work. Why? Because he promised me. That's all. And he cannot lie to me. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your the love and the care that you show us through your word. Father, your word, you make love to us. Father, it is not hateful. It is not destructive. It is encouraging, Father, to come to church. It is to feel your presence and feel your arms around us, surround us, and feeling you speaking to us, Father, shaping us, molding us, Father. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Father, because that word will transform us, Father. That word will transfigure us. That word will take us out of here, Father. Father, we thank you. I want to line up with that word. I want my faith, my action to said about my faith, that I believe God, that I believe his word, and that I believe the truth, Father, and that I'm in love with the truth. Father, and the only way people will know that if I'm acting according to your word. Father, we love you tonight. This morning, Father, and we ask you, as we return back to our homes to eat and to rest a little bit, to bring us back tonight safely. Father, we are still praying that your spirit, Lord, have control. We want to let your spirit take over our life, Father. We want to see that word come alive in our life. We want that faith to be shown to the world, a world that is in chaos, a world that is looking for something, but they are blind. They don't know what they're looking for. Father, here we are, Father, a privileged people, Father, that we can show them God, his word, alive and well in this day, Father. Because that's what you call us. You call us for us to be your word manifested for this day. Father, we thank you because we are depending on you. We are trusting you. And we are surrendering our life, our body, our soul, our mind. We want to surrender to you, Father, completely. We want you to have control of all the areas in our life. It is time, Father. It is time that all the things that we've been talking about should be made flesh. Father, we don't have much time left. God wants to come in the scene. His presence wants to be here, Father. And there's a people that will do that, Father. That is how you do it. That's how you chose to manifest yourself through your people. When we come to church, that's what we do. We bring in you to church. Because we want to bring you so you can manifest yourself through us. Father, this is not about us. This is not about church. This is not about tradition. This is about you, Lord. All of this is about you. Everything that we do better be about you. Because that is the only thing that it will be left. Your word. After all is said and done, it's your word that will remain forever. Thank you, Father, for this precious moment, Father. We don't want to waste them. We don't want to misuse them. We don't want to make a light out of it. We want to take it to heart. Every word, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of his mouth. Now, we are the mouth of God. You are the mouth of God. That's why we have to speak the will of God. We have to speak the will in heaven as in earth. Father, because nothing else will change a human being. Nothing else will change a life. Nothing else will transform a life but your Holy Spirit, Father. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you again tonight, this morning. We love you and we ask you to be with your people as we go in to our places, Father. Let them meditate. Meditate in this word spoken this morning, Father. Thank you and we love you. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Time for action. It is time for action. The time for nothing, for anything else is over. It's over. Either we're going to produce him or not. It's time. It's time that people will see Jesus in me, in everything I do. Amen. What are we singing? From glory, glory, changing me, changing me, changing me. The love, the love God shown to again. From glory, glory is changing me. Thank you, Lord.